the FTN Fast Break Podcast, Monday, November 18th, episode 23. So Jordan episode here, Zach Graham, a.k.a. Kawisenberg, DFS. It's Monday, so Mike Randall back in the building. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Zach, before we started, just casually drops in that he hits a grand in DFS as he's out at an event in public hand building. I mean, that's how good this guy is. Just hand building 1K lineups in the stands during basketball games. I am honored, as always, to be back with you, sir.
Yeah, it's been, I think we're continuing, really finding our groove. The NFL side, we had another subscriber take down 20K yesterday in the $100 single entry, sweating out that 100K till the end. Alex Blickle goes 8-for-8 in the Pick'em streets. We had two other takedowns on the NBA DFS side. And then, yeah, just me hand building in the old stands there turned out pretty well on Saturday night. So we hope to keep it going on the fantasy and betting side of things. But we're here to talk about the weekend that was in the basketball world. Pretty much all NBA talk here today. So, Mike, let's not waste any more time. Let's jump in to what is now our twice a week, we're just checking in on the undefeated Cleveland Cavaliers, 15-0, Adam Pfeiffer over the moon. His Cavs have won 15 in a row to start the season. His Bills finally take down the Chiefs on Sunday. They're on a big win streak as well. Wins over the Bulls and the shorthanded Charlotte Hornets over the weekend. So the Cavs now tie the 1948-49 Washington Capitals and the 93-94 Rockets for the second best start all time at 15-0. And to get to that two spot all alone at 16 straight wins, they will have to take down the Boston Celtics in a cup game on the road on Tuesday. So it's been a great start for the Cavs, but this is the real measuring stick coming up here tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's going to be a big one. And what I love about this team is it reminds me back to the Pistons teams in 2000 when they played the Lakers. And everyone thought the Lakers were just going to roll the Pistons, that they had them no problem. And in 2004, Pistons beat the Lakers 4-1. My point of this ramble, Zach, is that to have players that are in specific roles at this level beats anything, beats assembling talent, provided that there's even a modicum of comparison between the talent. That's what the Cavs are doing. They're just putting on a clinic. They have the big-time scorer in Donovan Mitchell. They have Darius Garland, who's playing some of the best basketball of his career. Mobley, Jared Allen's fine being the internal big with the low double-doubles. That's fine. LeVert off the bench. Ty Jerome is great. Sam Merrill stretched the floor. Isaac Okoro. They're buying what Kenny Atkinson is selling. They're doing more passing and cutting, making the vacuum from behind instead of the screen and roll. They're ahead of the curve. I love the Cavs. This is the game. Who am I taking? Probably the Celtics, but I'm going to be rooting for the Cavaliers, I have to say. It's been super impressive. It's great. I love when teams not in the mainstream are popping up. We've seen the Cavs hit what we thought was the ceiling with the 4 seed or the 3 seed in the Eastern Conference, and they win a round, but they lose in the second round. This could be the year that they make their move and go deep. It's great to watch. I'm thrilled.
Yeah, and I mentioned they won against the shorthanded Hornets on Sunday, but they've been shorthanded themselves in that game against Chicago on Friday. No Evan Mobley in that one, then no Donovan Mitchell on Sunday. So should be rested, ready to go here for Tuesday night. And I like that you bring up Kenny Atkinson. So I went over to DK Sportsbook. Kenny Atkinson, even odds now to win Coach of the Year. Second place, Steve Kerr at plus 750. So Coach Atkinson running away with it here early. And speaking of the NBA Cup, of course, the Cup continued on Friday. We've got more Cup group stage games on Tuesday night, but back on Friday, some of the things that stuck out to me: Denver Nuggets lose to a shorthanded Pelicans team. Nuggets themselves shorthanded. No Nikola Jokic, birth of his child. So he was out over the weekend, but I mean, that's pretty bad news for the Nuggets' chances here. Because again, we know you only take the group winners and then the next two wild card, right next to highest scoring teams. So Nuggets behind the eight ball here to start. Lakers, the opposite, though. They take down the Spurs. Very exciting back-and-forth game in that one. Obviously, my favorite team comes out on the short end, but that was entertaining to watch. And I think for the Lakers, right, now winners of 5 straight. So kind of, right, hot to start the year, 3 straight wins, couple stumbles, but now rolling right along. So the Lakers looking to take down this group here in the West and defend their initial NBA Cup title.
Yeah, Lakers better than I thought they were going to be. They're off to a better start than I thought. I was totally wrong about that. 8-4, nice win over the Spurs, playing well. And that's the matchup the Spurs are going to struggle with because Anthony Davis, of course, can battle Wemby. 40-12 for him, had the two blocks, the one steal. LeBron solid, facilitating. Dalton connect. We said it at the time. It was an incredible pick by them. I don't know why Dalton connect slid. Maybe they viewed him as just a stationary shooter, but he wasn't. He was the leader for that Tennessee team, the transfer from Northern Colorado. Maybe that was it because they didn't buy into it. But you're scoring 20 in a Tennessee offense. That's like scoring 40 anywhere else. Dalton connect, yeah. Versatile scorer, playing a role. LeBron setting him up. This team's a problem. Lakers are off to a really good start. I was wrong about that. Impressive games all around. Feel bad for the Nuggets, but Jokic, birth of his child, totally understand.
Yeah, don't get me started on Rick Barnes there in Tennessee. I had plenty of experience with old Coach Barnes here in Central Texas, Mike.
Zach, the phrase that made me double over laughing 2 years ago, which you probably are familiar with, I was not, is that Barnes is like the flu, comes on strong in the winter, and when by March it's gone. Here's the thing. He has sustained success. That's all you can ask for, NBA, yeah. College coach, whatever it is. I understand that, but he did get there to the Final Four with TJ Ford, and they had a couple bad breaks along the way. I understand. I still think he's in the upper echelon of coaches. I mean, I think he's a handful of guys you want, but I understand that. Yes, with Dr. Barnes. Yes.
Yeah, that was always my thing, right? Was he's great at producing pros, and you see that with Dalton Connect, yeah. Right? But when it comes down to February and March, continuously come up short. You know, you can't really knock him running into Carmelo Anthony in that Syracuse team back in 03 or 02, yeah. Whenever that was.
Yeah, 03, yep.
Yeah. So getting back to the cup here, Warriors beat the Grizz. So Golden State is the first Western Conference team to be 2-0 in the group stage. So again, you win all four group stage games, you are automatically through. So the Warriors on the precipice of advancing to the knockout round. Out East, Pistons and Hawks are leading East Group B and C respectively. Both of those teams at 2-0. Then in East Group A, we've got a pair of teams with the Magic and the Knicks, both 2-0. And they will play in the fourth and final group stage game there in East Group A. So shaping up to be, again, last year on that final group stage night, we had some really fun games back and forth. Same start times. We're looking at point differentials as we go. But just a straight up undefeated 3-0 Knicks against 3-0 Magic. That's what I'm hoping we get here in a week and a half in East Group A, because again, we see these like playoff style environments. This is the most intense type of basketball at the NBA level that you can find in November. So I'm looking forward to the continuation here of the NBA Cup in the group stage.
Two thoughts here, Zach. First, is the clock going to strike 12 on Buddy Hield at some point? I sure hope not. He's been fantastic. Exactly what they need. Coming off the bench, lighting up, had 18 against the Grizzlies, 4 of 8 from three-point range. Another one I want to drop to you, one of my favorite props, and I will bet it every single time, and I promise you it will hit over 60% this year. Stephen Curry over in rebounds. He had 8 rebounds. We cashed that one. It was 4.5 midway through the second quarter. Curry's ability to locate boards and where they're coming off has only been rivaled that I've seen from Dennis Rodman. Last year, he was down a little bit by about a rebound per game because of Chris Paul's presence, who has a similar sort of high IQ, okay? But he's back up there again. The next one is, how about our Magic? No Paolo Banchero, but Franz Wagner has turned into Dirk Nowitzki. I mean, just unreal for the Magic, sticking it to the Sixers there. Joel Embiid's playing, Paul George playing. Didn't matter, 4-15 from the field for Paul George. But just a superb performance by the Magic, who we had mentioned trying to tread water here until they get Banchero back. 7-0 at home, perfect. They got Goga, Tristan Da Silva, KCP, Suggs, who's been terrible. My guy Suggs has really struggled. He was 1 of 8 from three-point range against the Sixers, but it doesn't matter because Wagner, 31-11-6. Brilliant job by the Magic here, sort of verifying and justifying our ranking of them because they're doing it without Paolo.
Yeah, and not just without Paolo, Wendell Carter Jr. too, right? Yep. So it's confirmation of the depth that this team has built out, the quality of that depth, and individual players like Agoga. You see the team defense not dropping off too much. I would say we wanted them to tread water without Paolo, and I think they're exceeding that expectation here. Now, you mentioned undefeated at home. Anything else for you on the cup right now, those Friday games, or we can move on to some of the news of the weekend?
No, let's move on to the news. Just really excited. I love the courts. I love what the NBA is doing. There was some criticism at first, but I think we're warming to it here, making competitive games something within the long season. So I love it.
Yeah, and I won't, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say I love all of those courts, but I like the change, right? It gives it a little bit of a different feel. And as we come to the end of this group stage, I think the intensity in these games is just going to continue to pick up. Talking about some of the news pieces from the weekend, this kind of came out of left field for me, Mike. I was not ready for this record to be broken. And of course, one player has already broken Ray Allen's three-point record in Steph Curry. And Steph Curry will probably not be caught, at least in our lifetimes. You know, you say that, maybe the next Steph Curry comes along and blows him out of the water. But now James Harden has passed Ray Allen for second in the all-time three-pointers made list in the NBA. So that sent me down a little bit of a rabbit hole here. I know I saw you tweet about this James Harden record-setting performance here, but I went down the list. 10 of the top 20 on this list are active players. You've got Curry and Harden up top, Dame Lillard at 4, Klay Thompson at 6, LeBron at 8, Paul George is at 11, Kyle Lowry, Mike, is at 13, Kevin Durant 15, Eric Gordon at 16, then Buddy Hield at 20. So what's your take on this? Because I know you feel some type of way.
No, this is A-Rod versus Derek Jeter. It's very simple. James Harden is a better player than Ray Allen. I get it. 30 points per game, 36 points per game, 34 points per game. Folks, he's doing that on 44% from the field. So he is a better all-around player. And I just don't want to get into the compiler argument. Jim Tomei has more homers than Mickey Mantle in baseball. No one's telling you Jim Tomei's better than Mickey Mantle. I don't want to hear about this. James Harden has had a very long career. He's going to compile some numbers. That's great. In one game or one year or one series, if I'm going to win that series, I'm going with Ray Allen. And it's really not even close. Ray Allen shooting 46%, 47% from the field, averaging about 23 points per game over his career. And the clutch ability is not even in the same stratosphere. Harden hasn't won. Allen has. Allen's the reason that your guy, Kawhi, or Tim Duncan, rather, doesn't have, I believe, six titles or five. I believe that because he hits that shot against them where he stepped back, just instinctual. I like Ray Allen. James Harden, fine. He's just not a guy I'm going to when I want to win. I'm done with it. We've seen it time and time again. All the Harden people came at me on social media. Great job by you. One series, one game, Ray Allen, it's not close. Harden's a better player. Allen's a better winner.
Yeah, right. And it's looking at this list, right, with 10 of those top 20 and some of those names, it's really just a commentary on how the game has changed over the last 15 or 20 years. And everybody stepping out to the three-point line now, where we have a 7-5 Victor Wembanyama, a 7-3 Boban Marjanovic out there knocking down threes. You know, it was really just back in the day, Manute Bol is kind of the shining example of that, but he was nowhere close to the type of volume, the type of efficiency that we see out of some of these guys now. So again, as we move through the next decade or so, I imagine some names like Kyle Lowry, Eric Gordon, some of those guys probably drop out of the top 20 as you see a number of active players who are still very young climbing that list fairly rapidly. Looking to some news that we got here this morning, Mike, for tonight's game, Philadelphia against Miami, Joel Embiid is doubtful with an illness this time. So I won't knock him too much. You know, if you come down with the cold, there's not much you can do. Rest up, get better. But this is going to, with Tyrese Maxey still out, going to thrust Jared McCain back into a primary role here in this Philadelphia backcourt. And the rookie has been awesome over his last five games. I know Adam and I touched on McCain on Thursday's episode of the Fast Break, but just to highlight again, over the last five games for the Rook, Mike, 26.2 points, 2 rebounds, 4 assists per game, 48-44-100 shooting splits in 32.2 minutes. That's 131 points in his last 161 minutes. So I am excited to see if Jared McCain can keep up anything close to these type of rates and performances here tonight in a game that should be a little bit slower, a tough matchup against the Miami Heat, even without Jimmy Butler. So Jared McCain, you know, we talked about him with a stock up on Thursday, but going to be thrust again right back into the spotlight here tonight on Monday.
Yeah, I'm going to save some of my commentary for a stock up, stock down segment. Jared McCain's wonderful. Lights out shooter at Duke. really has evolved into a go-to guy. He hits big shots. You're seeing the creativity on the offensive end as well. And what's incredible, the veterans are deferring to him. So they're almost accepting this. So he must have credit in the locker room. You've seen him on TikTok. A little bit of an out there guy, but great to see. Impact player. When he gets hot, it's lights out. And I'm surprised it's gone on for this duration. But at some point, you have to say, you know what? Maybe he's just that good and really coming into his own. Not a shock that we've seen a Duke player, i.e. Banchero, who has struggled, wasn't quite at the level we thought they were going to be in college, but then they come to the NBA and they take off. You remember it was Paolo versus Jabari Smith, and then they made the right decision. Obviously, McCain could end up being a real steal here. He is not just a shooter. He is not Doug McDermott. He is a scorer. 26 points per game is legit.
We're getting some of this news in real time here, Mike. Jimmy Butler will play tonight. So that definitely does not make the matchup any easier for Philly and Jared McCain.
I'll be right back. I'm going to go put a bet in on the Heat. Thank you very much.
Yeah, there you go. And Terry Rozier, Jaime Jaquez out tonight, though. Mm-hmm. So factor that in to the equation as well. And speaking of injury reports, this was a big surprise to me this morning, Mike, because we get word that Kristaps Porzingis is going to practice with the Maine Celtics today. And I will, before we dive into what that means for the Boston organization, I think it's a travesty that we no longer have the Maine Red Claws as the team's name. I understand the branding and all of that, the financial side, but I love the Fort Wayne Mad Ants, right? Like back in the day, it used to be the Austin Toros down here in my neck of the woods. Now it's the Austin Spurs, and we've lost the Red Claws to the Celtics moniker. But certainly ahead of the timeline that I think had been publicized and was the general consensus that like getting KP back by Christmas Day would be a big win, and maybe it would take a little bit longer than that. But if he's practicing with the G League team here this week, to me, that says he is two-ish weeks, no more than three, away from at least being able to play in a limited capacity for the first team. So I think this is clearly great news for Boston, for Porzingis. Great news for anybody who invested those best ball shares in September and early October, but certainly bad news for the rest of the Eastern Conference and the league, because we know that the Celtics go up to another level when Porzingis is patrolling the paint.
Yeah, the first thing I thought of was my best ball shares with you, because that team has come from 10th to 4th because of De'Aaron Fox, basically. But yeah, I was hoping he would come back early. He's a difference maker. Great in fantasy. Great to see, because the Celtics team gets to a different level. His versatility, you saw his impact in the playoffs last year. So this was a surprise, but a pleasant surprise selfishly for me, because I took a lot of chances on Porzingis in best ball.
Yep. So we'll keep our eye on KP, and we'll also keep our eye on the schedule this week, because on this Monday slate, to be honest, Mike, I look at this schedule and I don't see a ton of games that I'm overly excited to tune into from a narrative standpoint, from a competition standpoint. But Houston and Milwaukee kind of fits the bill for me here tonight. A team in Milwaukee at home tonight. We know how badly they're hurting for wins, trying to climb back up just into the top 10 in the Eastern Conference. Damian Lillard probable. So it looks like he's going to return from concussion protocol, which should be a boost to Milwaukee. But the way they've been playing, who knows? And Houston on the other side, second end of a back-to-back here. So we don't have their injury report yet as of the time we're recording. But Houston, we'll talk about them a little bit more here in Stock Up, Stock Down. Tuesday, we've got the Cup games, of course, Tuesday and Friday over the next 2.5-3 weeks here will be group stage games. Cleveland and Boston, we already mentioned, the top two teams in the Eastern Conference, undefeated Cleveland, defending NBA champion Boston Celtics. And then, no Chet Holmgren, of course, but Thunder at Spurs. Hopefully Victor Wembanyama is back in this one, because if he's not, the watchability level of Thunder and Spurs, no Chet, no Wemby, I might not even watch that game, Mike. So hopefully Victor is back. Then on Wednesday, a trio of games have caught my eye. Pacers at Rockets. I think that one kind of clashing styles there. Pacers want to get up and down. Rockets really want to get into and make it tough on the defensive end. Pelicans at Cleveland. If Cleveland, of course, is 16-0, then I'm tuning into the Cavs every single night, even against the shorthanded Pelicans team, to watch that record be extended. And then Hawks at Warriors. I think Trey versus Steph. Nice little nightcap on our Wednesday night slate.
Yeah, the Cavs are must watch right now whenever they're on. I agree. It reminds me, if there's no Wemby and no Chet, it reminds me of the Giants-Cowboy game on Thanksgiving with Cooper Rush and now Tommy DeVito. but looking at the slate, I'm almost at the point now where the Rockets are must-watch for me. Five in a row, no way. I'm not taking the Bucks tonight. I don't care if Lillard's back. I think the Rockets go in and continue their streak. They're playing great defense schematically. Sagun should have a huge game against the Bucks inside. I think they're must-watch for me right now because I'm interested. Udoka does a nice job. His defensive schemes, his rotations, I love that. So I'm into that as well. The one that makes me laugh, I mean, the Bucks usually handle the Bulls on Wednesday, but are we going to hit? We're going to lose to the Rockets, and then we're going to lose to the Bulls at home? I mean, that could be rock bottom here. Giannis's body language is awful, even when he gets a triple-double through the second quarter like he did last week. So still some interesting games coming up. The Cup games, of course, take priority, but I'm going to be watching anything with the Cavs, certainly against the Celtics as well. And maybe one eye open on the Bucks, who are just going the wrong way.
Yeah, when I see Bucks Bulls on the schedule, I think Bobby Portis. Maybe we're looking at some Bobby Portis props. You know he loves to go up against his former team. We also just got here. If we're talking Cup games on Tuesday, Spurs and Thunder, Wemby questionable with that knee bruise. So we'll know, of course, on Tuesday evening. Let's close it out here, Mike, with stock up, stock down. What's your stock down here on episode 23?
Yeah, my stock down of the Sixers. I'm just not buying it. I mean, you hear it's double talk. You're hearing Joel Embiid telling me he wants a title, so he's going to play every other game. That's your path to title. You think you're that good that you can just rest until the playoffs? I mean, we've seen that not work for many years for players like Kawhi, who are significantly more talented, in my opinion, than he is. Embiid, he thinks him and Paul George can just get things going. They're looking awful. 2 of 10, you get destroyed at the Magic without Banchero. Paul George, terrible, not buying it. This is a terrible move by the Sixers. This is supposed to be their year where they make a move. I just care about a title. Really, Joel Embiid, you just care about a title, so you're not going to play. I don't buy the cold. I don't care what it is. They're going the wrong way. Nick Nurse here must really be frustrated because he's a winning coach. Stock down on all things Sixers. Get on the floor and get some wins.
I wonder if Paul George may be having any sort of regrets here early in the season about his free agent decision. Right? Yes. Not that he left the Clippers, right? I don't think he'd be happy there either, but maybe we could have chose a different situation. Certainly keeping our eye on the stock down for the Sixers. My stock down going to the Western Conference, but a team at the bottom of the standings that has reeled off 3 straight wins here. Stock down to the Portland Trailblazers, Mike. Not because, like, I think it's good that Shaedon Sharpe is now playing full minutes and producing really well, right? Scoot Henderson has been fine. You've seen good games out of Donovan Clingan of late with DeAndre Ayton out. The Time Lord, Robert Williams, he's healthy. He's playing, Mike. He's not playing back-to-backs, of course. But if he can be serviceable, right? This is a trade piece leading up to the February deadline. But with those 3 wins, Portland now tied with San Antonio for the 10th best lottery odds, and that's not what you want to see if you're a Portland fan, right? That would give them just a 2.5% chance at the first pick in the lottery. They want to be, may I say, they have to be in that bottom 3 to get that full 14% chance, a 52% chance of a top 4. Portland cannot mess around here and drop out of that bottom 5. They have to lose games, and I know it's still very early, and the Portland Trailblazers will lose a ton of games this season, but so will a lot of other teams who are maybe a little bit more locked in on the odds here. So it's just something I have my eye on. 3 straight wins for a team that, you know, would benefit pretty every franchise would, but like, this is a team that needs to lose games, and I just don't like seeing 3 game win streaks. This is just, if I'm a Portland fan, I just went through it with the Spurs a couple years ago, and it looked great for me because I only have to do it 1 year every 25 years and we get the number 1 pick, generational player. But there's a generational player and maybe multiple in this 2025 draft class. 6 and 8, I know it's backwards, but this is just the way the NBA is structured. The Portland Trailblazers need to lose as many games as possible, and they're not right now. So it's recalibrate your brain for the NBA rules. Stock down for the 3 straight wins for the Portland Trailblazers.
It's really funny, but it's accurate. And you've seen it in other sports as well. The only option, Zach, is to rest players, which is very hard to do at the beginning of the year. We know what happens at the end of the year. They bring the G League players up and they rotate them in. When the players are on the floor, of course, this goes without saying, they're going to try to win. So the question is that management has to almost put players on the court that they think are not advantageous matchups. But earlier in the year, the players are overperforming. I understand. I agree long term. But they're going to have to make some interesting moves here and rest players along the way, a la Joel Embiid, because when the players get on the floor, they're playing well, and they're going to continue to do that the rest of the year.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? Like, you've had Simons out. You've had Ayton out for these three wins. So it's, it's just a little bit interesting to me here. Two wins back-to-back over the Timberwolves and then the Hawks. Let's close it out again with our stock up, as we always do here on the Fast Break. What's your stock up here for Monday, November 18th?
I hearken back to the 2017 NBA draft. And you can look on my X account where I said Fox greater than Lonzo Ball. And I hammered it over and over again. I saw them both play. I said, Magic, get some guts, make the right call. I was right. That draft started Fultz, Ball, Tatum, no problem. Josh Jackson over De'Aaron Fox. Seriously? The only thing Fox was missing. And they had a great, I think it was an Elite Eight game, or maybe Sweet 16 in North Carolina. Luke May hit a shot to win the game. Fox just needed a jumper. That's the only thing. And you know, Zach, that it's the easiest thing to fix coming into the NBA. Well, don't look now. Look at what De'Aaron Fox has done the last few games. He is entering his, eighth year right now. He's averaging 28.9 points per game. He's shooting 50% from the field, 35% from three, which is close to his high last year. And the progression for his three-point shot, 29, 32, 36, he's getting better. An absolute dominant performance by De'Aaron Fox, which is what this team needs. He has posted 29 and 10, then the 60 and 7 in overtime against Minnesota, and then 49 and 9. He's hitting 1 of 2 from 3, 6 of 10, 3 of 4. Do the quick math. That's 10 of 17 from three-point range for a player who I heard couldn't shoot coming out of college. Love De'Aaron Fox. Pray that he would take the step this year to become this type of player. I believe in him. The Kings are fun to watch. Great home court advantage. My stock up. Swipe it a Fox on X. De'Aaron Fox.
There you go. I love it. And we were already talking De'Aaron Fox props here on the Daily Dime at FTN Fantasy on Monday morning.
Nailed
going
it.
Up against the Hawks here tonight. No Sabonis, no DeMar DeRozan.
Yep, ladder exactly. Zach. Just keep laddering.
Yeah, we'll take the guy that's averaging 32.5 shot attempts over the last two games in a similar situation here tonight. My stock up here on episode 23, Mike, is the Houston Rockets. Kind of what you brought up earlier, right? Winners of five straight. They're now 10-4, just a game back of the top seed in the West, and they're doing it with defense because offensively, this team has not been good. The guys you would expect to be getting it done from three, right? This team just 32.7% from deep on the young season. That's 27th in the league, Mike. So, like, we don't need Houston to be Cleveland Cavaliers-esque that who are at 42% from three. Even a team like the Warriors at 39%, Miami, Denver, right? We need to be kind of middle of the pack, I think, to be able to reach a ceiling if we're the Houston Rockets, because we know the defense is going to be there with Coach Udoka, but I'm going to need more out of Fred VanVleet, who has picked it up a little bit of late. I'm going to need more out of Jalen Green, right? Like, at some point, Houston is going to have to make some decisions on this young core. You are probably not going to be able to afford all the pieces. So to me, this is not just a big season for the franchise to see if they can take that leap to being a playoff team, but it's also, how are we going to reshuffle the deck going forward? Because we have the veterans in Dylan Brooks, Fred VanVleet, right? A couple guys on the bench is Steven Adams, but we've got this young core and probably some more high-ish picks coming in over the next couple years. How are we going to shake things out? Again, it's a good problem to have. They are one game out of the top seed at 10-4. But I'm looking at some of the offensive numbers and say, this could be even better. So stock up for Houston, but I am keeping my eye on the offensive end of the floor.
Yeah, VanVleet worries me a little. He's cut down his turnovers. I mean, he went back-to-back with Toronto, 2.62 turnovers per game. He's gone 1-7 and now 1-2. Udoka's not going to put up with that. but his points are dropping, but he's trying to get him more efficient. He's not efficient from 3-point range. He was 38.7% last year. This year, 31.5%. He was better, almost better from 3-point range than he was from the field last year. You round it up, it's 39 to 41. That's a bad efficiency split. So I think Udoka's trying to find the right match, but the guy wins. Some off-the-court issues, as we know, but the guy wins, and he can coach basketball. I like this Rockets team. I like the scheme that he runs, and I still believe that the Celtics were winners because of the schemes that he started before the team changed head coaches. So I like the Rockets. Stock up with them. I'm intrigued. They're watchable now. I have to watch them. I'm curious enough. The Cavs I know are good. I'm just watching to see when they're going to end or this is going to cool off. The Rockets, I didn't think were this good. They've now got me intrigued. I agree with you. Stock up on the Rockets big time.
Yeah, we'll see them against your Bucks here tonight. Anything else for you, Mike, before we shut it down on episode 23?
It's great. I love the cup. Perfect time of year. Thanksgiving, my favorite holiday coming around the corner. So really exciting stuff, Zach. And as always, look forward today when you go to the dentist and hit another 1K on DFS. That'd be great.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Hey, and you and I in lockstep. Thanksgiving, also my favorite holiday. Yeah. Looking forward to that next Thursday. And of course, we will be back on Thursday. I'll be here with Adam Pfeiffer for our next episode of the FTN Fast Break Podcast. Appreciate you all tuning in, sticking with us here on episode 23. Enjoy the beginning of your week, everybody. We'll do the same, and we'll see you back here on Thursday. Till then, he's Mike, and I'm Zach. Goodbye.